how are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till
it's
the Radio Avenger.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
All righty, we are on this Thursday night edition of the program. And, well, tonight we're going to have a very interesting program, as we usually do. A little zigging and a little zagging in the road. And tonight we'll be discussing many things, including paganism, pagan holidays, such as Easter, and also some really basic constitutional Americanist principles about the idea of the Constitution versus the doctrine of separation of church and state and various other things that pertain to the founding of the Republic. So it'll be a very well-rounded program, from biblical questions to constitutional questions and other questions in between. And right now, I'm going to welcome my guest, Gene Smith, thebibletruthman.com. Hello, Gene.
Hello, Rick. How are you doing tonight?
Good, good. Very good. Good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Well, you you have sent me some materials that you obviously feel that we should talk about, and I agree that we need to talk about them. The separation of church and state doctrine in America, the Mayflower Compact, American history, constitutional law, and where America has gone since the 1700s, and it is a fascinating study. And in addition to that, we also want to talk a little bit about the upcoming season of Easter versus Passover, and who Passover is for, what it is. And I think this is going to be a very interesting program once again, Gene.
Should be.
Yes, indeed. And we do invite people to call in with their points of view, their questions, their comments, and we can handle them. We'll give you an opportunity to give us your viewpoint or your question. That's the whole point of the program. But first of all, Gene, will you be celebrating Easter?
No, I will not.
Okay. And why not?
Because I'm a Christian.
Oh.
And I will not celebrate a pagan festival labeled Christian, or in this case, labeled by a pagan goddess's name, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so obvious, Rick. The word Easter, as any encyclopedia will tell you, any regular dictionary will tell you, is the name of a pagan goddess of spring and fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And what in the world is a pagan goddess's name doing on a supposed Christian festival or holy day?
That's a good question. Well,
how
do they get there?
I'd like to ask any preacher that. You know, Rick, these preachers that go to seminary especially, go to a regular college, you can't tell me they don't know this. And Christ Jesus was not resurrected on Easter Sunday. He was not resurrected on any Sunday. He was not resurrected on the first day of the week. And a lot of people say, well, what difference does it make? He was resurrected from the dead. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, Rick, Jesus disagrees with that. Jesus said it's equally important how long he was in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39 and 40, he said he would, the only sign that he gave these evil and adulterous people was that he'd be 3 days and three nights in the grave.
All right.
About a day and a half from Friday to Sunday morning.
There you go. All right. Already we're stirring up a good controversy. We'll be back with more and your questions. Uncensored Radio, Free America, only on rbnlive.com. Jump aboard. Gene Smith, my guest.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order three or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Hitting them pretty hard and knocking them right out of the park. Rick Adams is on. Right on. On base, on point, on RBNLive.com.
Yes, and we are back once again with our guest, Gene Smith, BibleTruthMan.com. Is that just BibleTruthMan.com on the web?
Yes, my website address, I guess it's www.BibleTruthMan.com.
All right.
And my email is BibleTruthMan@Yahoo.com.
You know, Gene, just a moment ago you were making some points about pagan celebrations and how they have supposedly crept into the, quote, Christian world, the Christian calendar. And, you know, I hear preachers who won't argue. They'll say, yeah, it is sort of pagan, sort of this, sort of that, but you know what? What's the big deal? It's Christ that we worship, and we don't worship the Easter Bunny. We worship Jesus, and we don't mind breaking a few rules here and there and bending a few here and there. And that's why we have Christmas celebration, because it is so pro-Christian. And this is the rationale that they will use. And what do you say from the Scriptures?
I say from the Scriptures what Christ Jesus said in John the 4th chapter, and begin verse 23. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What these preachers are talking about is playing church and having an emotional service with singing and all that, and all the hand raising up in the sky. and praying to a Jew Jesus that never lived. The real Christ Jesus was not a Jew, as we think of the word Jew today. And it says in truth, Jesus said in truth. Well, you see, Christmas, he wasn't born at Christmas time. He was not conceived in Mary at Christmas time. And we've talked about this on your program last December. And he was not, he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, just like he said. He gave that sign to these evil people. He gave that sign to everybody that was around listening.
Mm-hmm.
That the only sign he gave that he was who he said he was, the only begotten Son of God the Father, the Messiah, was that he would be 3 days and three nights in the grave. And so the length of time he was in the grave is just as important as his resurrection from the dead.
Exactly.
Because, because of that sign that he gave that the preachers deny by saying he was killed on a Friday and resurrected on a Sunday morning. There's no way you can get 3 days and three nights from that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these preachers say, well, that's just a part of 3 days and three nights. That's what the Hebrew idiom means. Well, Christ Jesus was not speaking in Hebrew. He was speaking in Aramaic. Mm-hmm. The New Testament was inspired in Greek, not Hebrew. So mm-hmm. How do you get a Hebrew idiom by speaking in Aramaic and the text being written in Greek?
Mm-hmm.
They fail to tell you that. So there's no Hebrew idiom in the 3 days and three nights. And there's a lot of scholarly sources that say that he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. The Companion Bible, Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. And what I'm saying, Rick, is just taking the scriptures, taking Jesus at his word.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore he was in the grave 72 hours. He was killed on a Wednesday, which was Passover day, the same day that the priests in the temple were killing the lambs for the Passover feast mm-hmm. that night.
Yep.
And he is the Lamb of God, so he had to be killed at the same time the animals were being killed, because he took the place of those animals. That's why we don't have to do that,
mm-hmm.
because Christ Jesus took the place of those lambs, and he is the Lamb of God, sacrificed once for all. The entire book of Hebrews was written to show us that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was put into the grave late Wednesday afternoon, just before the Sabbath. Now, a lot of people think that's the Fourth Commandment Sabbath, from Friday twilight to Saturday twilight. No. That was the first day Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Mm-hmm.
And the scriptures say this. Pilate was going to release, remember, he was going to release a prisoner during the feast, it says.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Pilate didn't release a prisoner every Fourth Commandment Sabbath, which is one day a week from Friday twilight to Saturday twilight. He didn't release a prisoner 52 times out of the year. No, he released a prisoner once in the year, proving that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a festival of God that comes annually. And I believe Christians still should observe these festivals, though, as the Book of Acts even says that the disciples did after Christ Jesus was resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. They still observe these festivals. They never observe Easter. Now, Easter is mentioned in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, but that is a total mistranslation as any any Bible will tell you in the footnotes. Any Greek lexicon will tell you it should be Pasch, which means the Passover. So it should read Passover there, not Easter. The disciples never heard of Easter, and the early Christian church of the first century never heard of Easter. It was sprang up in Rome around 120 A.D. when Bishop Sixtus, spells his name X-Y-S-T-U-S or X-I-S-T-U-S.
Gene,
yes.
You're breaking up here on the phone. Is that because
really?
You're on a cell phone, or are you speaking too close and too loudly?
Oh, well, no, I don't think so. How's this?
It's distorted.
Let me switch to my other phone
right quick.
I hope I don't cut off,
right? That's okay. If you do, we'll call
all
you
right back.
But it is distorting, so we'll see if we can correct that right now and try another phone, and hopefully it'll be an improvement. If not, if you're on a cell phone, then see if we can get you on a land phone, which is what we try to do anyway when we have guests, try to make it as clear as is possible, okay? All right, Gene. If you're there, you just speak right up. If not, we will continue to speak on your behalf. By the way, people that have questions or comments about this issue or any issue, well, you can call them right back. Get on the line as soon as you can, and we'll take your call at 1-800-313-9443. We're talking about this pagan concept and holiday, Easter. Of course, there are quite a few of them along the way, but the two main ones are Easter and Christmas, and of course, they are really commercialized today in America like no other holidays. They are cash cows, certainly.
How's this, Rick?
All right, let's see. Are you there?
How's this, Rick?
Sounds a little better. Sounds a little better, Gene.
All right, good.
All right, you were making the point about the paganism and the Roman Empire, essentially, and the Roman times, and when Easter began to become popularized.
Yes, Easter, actually, the Romans celebrated the festival of Venus. And the Roman bishop Sixtus, around 120 A.D., adopted this celebration of Venus and the resurrection of her son Jupiter as the resurrection of time of Christ Jesus on a Sunday, because supposedly she was the goddess of spring and fertility, and her son was supposedly resurrected on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been observed in ancient Babylon. Even I mean, you can trace this observance of the mother and child and the resurrection of her child to ancient Babylon, the Persians, the Greeks, the Egyptians. With Isis, the Egyptians worship Isis and Horus, and of course the Romans, when they conquered Egypt, and Greece, they adopted this festival of the mother goddess and her on a day in the early spring, honoring her. And the resurrection from the dead of her son. Now these the goddesses and her son are called by different names according to the civilization. In Rome, it was Venus and Jupiter. And the Bishop of Rome, Sixtus, around 120 A.D. This is in the Catholic Encyclopedia. This is in Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History. So we know it happened. And he wanted to get pagans into the church at Rome. They didn't want to give up their pagan celebration of Venus and Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just said, well, instead of observing this as the time of Venus and Jupiter, we'll observe it as the resurrection day of Christ Jesus and his mother Mary. And so they had no problem in doing that substitution. It's just like the church at Rome in the 4th century, middle of the 4th century, adopted the Saturnalia, the Roman pagan celebration of the birthday of the sun god, S-U-N god, as the birthday of the Son of God, Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing about 250 years later. So to get pagans into the Roman church, they thought they had to do this. Well, this was a violation of God Elohim's law in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 29 to 31.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2 says, to learn not the way of the heathen. And in the New Testament says, flee idolatry in Corinthians. So what we see here is a mixing of paganism, sun worship paganism. Actually, it was called Mithraism by the Persians, and the Romans adopted that pagan sun worship of the Persians that they got from the Greeks and the Egyptians. The Greeks conquering the Persians and adopting Mithraism also. The Greeks worshipped the sun god Apollo, as did the Roman Emperor Constantine. He worshipped the sun god Apollo, and mm-hmm. even still did after his supposed conversion to Christianity in 312 A.D.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we see that Easter, though, this name comes from the old German pagan goddess, E-O-S-T-R-E, E-O-S-T-R-E,
mm-hmm.
Pronounced very similar to Easter. In fact, like I say, the goddess in ancient Babylon, remember, Revelation 17:5 talks about Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. The goddess was I-S-H-T-A-R, and the Chaldean language of Babylon was pronounced Easter also.
All right, we'll be right back with Gene Smith, our guest, the Bible Truth Man. I'm Rick Adams, and we'll take calls during the program. Stay tuned for much more here on RBNLive.com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
And we're speaking with Gene Smith from Texas and his website, thebibletruthman.com. And he, of course, has gotten a lot of feedback from this audience in the past. And no wonder. Gene, you have, conviction. You have an assertion and aggression in your voice in the sense that you are aggressively seeking to bring the Bible across to people today. And it's a very difficult thing. I know, to try to break with habit, to break with tradition, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Christ Jesus said you have to count the cost to be a Christian. He said it could cost you your friends, some of your family member even. Mm-hmm. He said, I came to against her mother, a son against his father. Because of the truth, though. It's because of the truth. It's because most people don't want the truth. And it's amazing that a lot of so-called patriots, they want the truth about 9/11, Federal Reserve, IRS,
mm-hmm.
And the money system, but when it comes to the Bible, they act like, well, what difference does it make? Well, yeah. Let me tell you, Rick, we are under the curse of Deuteronomy 28, and beginning in verses 15 forward, if anybody wants to read those curses, we're under the curses of Deuteronomy 28 because it says we have violated God's commandments and statutes. Mm-hmm. And in the statutes, like I said, in Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 31, it says, don't take any pagan custom or festival and put and use that to worship the true God, mm-hmm. God the Father and Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus said in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 that I've read, that God, you cannot worship God the Father except in truth. And the truth is that Christ Jesus was in the grave 3 days, three nights. He was resurrected late Saturday afternoon. He was put into the grave late Wednesday afternoon. And 72 hours later, he fulfilled his sign that he gave, the only sign he gave that he was the only begotten Son of God the Father and the Messiah, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 to 40. And he did fulfill that sign because he was who he said he was.
And when he said that if you destroy this temple, I will raise it in 3 days.
Exactly.
That's exactly what he did.
Exactly what he did. And yet these preachers and these religious organizations labeled Christian deny that by saying that he was put in the grave on Friday and resurrected on Sunday morning. He wasn't resurrected. He was not resurrected from the dead on Sunday morning, any time on the first day of the week, which began at night. Remember, in the Bible, the days begin at night. And so the first day of the week began what we call Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
But he was already resurrected from the dead before that time. When Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb, he had already been resurrected. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 says it was beginning to dawn. And in John chapter 20 and verse 1, it says it was still dark even when they got there.
Mm-hmm.
So how could it be a Sunday morning resurrection?
Yeah, pretty,
if he
pretty
was already
impossible.
Resurrected before dawn.
And it's amazing because, as you say, the scriptures are quite plain in these areas. There's no debate, there's no supposition, and yet people still are reading the scriptures incorrectly.
There's no interpretation needed.
No, there is none.
It's the self-explanatory scriptures. And, Rick, these preachers have to know this. They are deliberately teaching our people lies and trying to worship Christ Jesus and God the Father in lies, which Christ Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, you cannot do. He doesn't accept that worship in lies. So it is important that we worship Christ Jesus and God the Father in truth. And that truth comes from the Bible. Christ Jesus said, thy word is truth. John chapter 17, verse 17.
As I was alluding to earlier when we were changing the phones here, that these pagan holidays today are highly commercialized. And if nothing else, that's the whole purpose of them. It's another business holiday, you know, especially Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, these corporate America tries to balance its books on Christmas and on the backs of Jesus. And that's what they boast about, that they want to get in the black and get out of the red, make sure they're making a bundle off the good name of Jesus Christ. And that's one heck of a way to run a country, isn't it?
Well, you have the Easter Bunny. You have the sale of eggs, of course, which you should eat. They're good for you. But the rabbit was a sign of fertility to the ancient Egyptians.
Right.
And the eggs, of course, are definitely a sign of fertility. They've been a sign of fertility to a lot of pagan civilizations going all the way back to Babylon. Remember, this paganism that we're talking about came from Babylon, as it says in Revelation chapter 17, especially verse 5. And so it's no surprise that we see that this paganism is just what it is. It's from sun worship, and it's also from Judaism, and you can throw the Kabbalah in also now. So remember, Mystery Babylon is the mother of harlots, Rick, and that's not just the pagan sun worship that we're talking about now. It's also the Babylon Talmud of Judaism. That's from Babylon. It's called the Babylon Talmud. That's their Bible. So, but we cannot discount this pagan sun worship that's been mixed in with what we call Christianity today.
So this Babylonian captivity that we are told of in the Scripture is not just a spiritual captivity, but it is a physical bondage as well.
Yes, and it's a bondage to organized religion also, not just to the federal government, not just to taxes, not just to the money system of the Federal Reserve System. It is a bondage to organized religion that's leading our people into paganism labeled Christian, an adulterous Christianity that's not really Christianity.
No, that's exactly right, and that's what the Lord addressed, really, when he came and denounced the adulterous generation before which he spoke, and repeatedly denounced it and made it clear that the generation would not receive him because they had departed from the way. They had apostatized.
And that adulterous generation were the people of Cain and the Edomites from Esau married to the Hittites, who were the descendants of Cain.
Exactly. All right, we'll be back, and now we'll take some calls in between. 1-800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
Okay, as you can see, we're talking about the time of year here when people are... who call themselves Christians, anyway, professing Christians, are mostly celebrating Easter. And there are people like our guest Gene Smith who are actually enjoying the Passover season. Is that right, Gene?
Yes, I observed the New Covenant Passover that Christ Jesus gave us. Also, it's not communion. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's the New Covenant Passover, and I've got an essay on that. That I will send anybody free of charge that will explain that service to them. And also then the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days after that. And Christ Jesus was killed by these Pharisees, scribes, the Herodians, the Sadducees, and their priests in the temple. These were all Edomite people related to Herod the Great that tried to kill baby Jesus. His people had taken over the temple and the religious service and teaching of the people, the true Israelite people, at the time Christ Jesus lived. This is why they murdered him, to shut the truth up that he was telling them and everybody that they were not Israelites. They were from Cain, as he clearly said in Matthew 23, verses 33 to 34, and then Luke chapter 11, verses 49 to 51. And in other places also, he said they were their father the devil in John chapter 8, verse 44. These people murdered him. They were his antagonists. They were his adversaries. The Roman government, and the Roman governor Pilate and his soldiers were not the enemies of Christ Jesus. You can't show me one place in the Gospels where Christ Jesus and the Romans ever locked horns. They never had any arguments. They never had any problems. It was always these people from Cain, these Edomites that controlled the temple and the religious worship, organized religion back then, that were deceiving the Israel people back then. And
although it is interesting, Gene, to note that they themselves were very cautious to get the Roman government to do their dirty work for them.
Well, yeah, but Pilate found him innocent, and he gave Jesus over to them. He
right.
gave them to do their will, he said, in Luke. He said he gave them Jesus to do their will with him. And the Romans, Pilate scourged him now. He did whip him, but I don't think it was very much of a whipping because Pilate knew that he was innocent.
I don't know about that, though. I mean, I understand he got one savage beating, and that beating
was from these people from Cain, though. They're the ones that beat him to a bloody pulp after he was turned over to them by Pilate.
Yeah, and they demanded that he be killed, and demanded that the Romans do it for them. But today, we do see a similar parallel in that the United States and Britain and the tribes of, physical Israel are indeed doing the work once again of these Kenites today, who are directing and using their real Israel, if you will, in the flesh, and trying to get them to do all of their dirty work for them again.
Well, it says that they stirred up the multitude against Christ Jesus to say crucify him, and a lot of that multitude were true Israel people, and they're doing the same thing today. They control the media, and therefore they are stirring up our people to violate God's laws, and they have made our nation a non-Christian nation where it was founded to be a Christian nation by brainwashing our people, just like they brainwashed the multitude against Christ Jesus the day he was murdered by these people.
Yes, and we'll get into some of that history of our nation as well as we go along. But right now, Gene, let's take a couple of calls here and there. 800-313-9443 to jump aboard. And we're going to start with Gloria in New York. Hello, Gloria. You're on our program with Gene Smith.
Oh, thank you to both of you. He answered my first question already, and it was about the rabbit and the egg and how it came to this country. But my second question is then, it's about Jesus. We know that he was not a Jew, never was a Khazar, and never will be. But in appearance, he was an Anglo-Adamic man. I'm wondering if Gene could at least explain more about that for the listeners. In other words, he had blonde hair, blue eyes. I have read that somewhere. So can you tell us a little more about that? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Okay,
thank you,
Gloria. Gene?
Well, he was born of Mary. He didn't have a human father, of course. He was born of Mary, who was an Israelite. Her lineage is traced in Matthew. All the way back to King David. She was related to King David. King David was an Israelite from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the descendants of Adam and Eve, the first parents of the white race. And that's why it's so important to understand the book of Genesis. And Christ Jesus said you need to understand the writings of Moses to understand his teachings. He said that in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. And yet the preachers deny these scriptures. They say they're not for us today. They have no importance. Mm-hmm. All we have to know is Jesus. Well, let Jesus come into your heart. Jesus never said, let him come into your heart. He said, come into your mind and your life. And that's through study of the Bible. And you study and find out about Jesus by studying the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there's an interesting historic letter written by Pilate to the Emperor Tiberius. You see, Pilate had to report what happened that day, that Christ Jesus was murdered by these people of Cain.
Yes.
And put in the tomb. He had to report to Tiberius about these events, and when he did, he described Jesus as a man about 6 feet tall, stout, with blonde hair and blue eyes. That letter, I think, is in the Vatican Library. It's a letter that's not being outwardly promoted or published, But that letter was written. Pilate had to write that, these circumstances to Emperor Tiberius at Rome at this time. He had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that Christ Jesus, just by coming from his mother Mary, who was a descendant of Adam and Eve, all the way back to Adam and Eve, who were the first parents of the white race, we know he was a white man.
All right. Does that answer her question? I think it may indeed. All right. Let's continue. We have Nan in Texas on now. Another female. Hello, Nan.
Yes. Females are doing a lot of studying these days.
Well, that's wonderful.
Gene, I would like, before you get off the air, maybe for you to give your address. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a study on the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I would like your input. I'm reading the Antonicene Fathers, mm-hmm. the early Christian writings, and I can hear the early Christian writings in what you're saying. I know that you must have. I'm looking out of what Justin Martyr said. Mm-hmm. He said that the lamb, which is roasted at Passover, is roasted and dressed up in the form of the cross. Mm-hmm. One spit is transfixed right through from the lower part up to the head, and one across the back, to which are attached the legs of the lamb. So you're absolutely right. Every one of the fathers, Clement of Alexandria and Hippolytus, Peter, the bishop of Alexandria, agrees with you. Mm-hmm. And I would like to recommend these writings to all Christians. We've lost them. The mm-hmm. first 300 years after Christ, there is so much to be learned. They were the scholars of scholars. And I want to thank you for coming on, because you sound like a scholar of scholars.
Well, yeah, sort of. I don't promote that too much, but I have a Ph.D. in historical theology.
Okay.
Yet.
Well, if you give your... I don't have access to an Internet, but mm-hmm. I would like to send you the result of what I'm writing.
All right.
All right. Can you give a post office address, Gene?
Yes. It's P.O. Box 201. That's P.O. Box 201. A little town's called Scurry. I used to live out there. I don't now live in Fort Worth, but I still kept the post office box. A little town south of Dallas, Scurry, Texas. S-C-U-R-R-Y. S-C-U-R-R-Y, Texas.
Okay.
And the zip is 75158. 75158
okay.
is the zip code.
I'm finding out that the Greek Septuagint was mm-hmm. the Christian Old Testament. Period. Mm. The first Christians in the first and second, third century considered no other Bible. And the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, were changed in 126 A.D. in order to take out all of the references that they could of Jesus. Mm. You know, where his name, Moses, called Joshua Jesus. His name in Greek was Jesus, just like it was in the Greek New Testament. And the Septuagint was written 300 years before Jesus was born. All of this is so, it was so startling to me. How could I not know it? So anyway, I would like to send some material to you.
Very good.
Okay.
And we'll give his number out later on, too, for those yeah. who want to call.
Let me make some comments on what you said, though.
Sure.
Number one, the Law and the Prophets are not the Jewish scriptures. They're the Law and the Prophets, as mm-hmm. Christ Jesus called them. They were inspired in Hebrew, not in Greek. The Septuagint was written because at the time... Greeks under the Ptolemies, after Alexander the Great had died, his generals divided his territory, and his general Ptolemy got the land of Syria and the land of what we call Canaan land, and then his other generals, who all spoke Greek, divided Italy, Egypt, and Asia Minor. And so it was a Greek-speaking world. This is before the Romans now conquered Greece. We have to understand this. This is around 300 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Septuagint was written from the Hebrew Scriptures because nobody spoke Hebrew in that Greek-speaking world. So they wanted a Greek copy of the Hebrew Scriptures. But the Greek is not the inspired Scriptures of the Law and the Prophets. Hebrew is. And we have a good good translation of the Hebrew into modern-day English from the King James and even modern-day English translations, I believe, like the New American Standard and New International Version, even Revised Standard Version. The Dead Sea Scrolls prove that we have a very good English translation today of the Hebrew Scriptures. And they do mention Christ Jesus. They do prophesy his death and resurrection from the dead, even. And that's in your English translations. We don't have to go to the Septuagint to understand the Law and the Prophets. We can just go to our English Bibles. We have to understand also that we don't rely on Justin Martyr or Irenaeus or any of these so-called church fathers for our doctrine. We rely on the Bible. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 say. The church fathers are not even mentioned in the Bible because they lived after the Bible was canonized. Some of their writings are good for history, but not good for doctrine. We have to understand that.
Mm-hmm. All right, very interesting. Let's take some more calls, Gene, and we'll do that right now. By the way, Gene's address, his web address, for those of you who are online, is www.BibleTruthMan.com. All right. We have Doug in Texas right now. Hello, Doug.
Yeah, hi, Rick, Gene, and hope you all are having a good day. Okay.
We are, now that you called.
Well, thank you. You're a good man, Rick.
Well, thank you.
The best.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
All right. Okay, well, my hero is Pastor Pete Peters out of LaPorte, Colorado. You're familiar with the man, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, well, what about Gene?
Gene, are you familiar with Pete Peters?
Yes, and I'm not one of his followers. I don't believe he tells a lot of truth about the Bible. I've challenged him to a debate several times on certain aspects of his biblical teaching. He won't debate me. He's hung up on me. He's been very rude to me, very abrupt with me. Uh-huh. Even on his program when I call in, to me, if you don't flatter him and tell him what a great guy he is, he doesn't want to speak to you too much. That's been my experience. Now, I'm just telling you my experience, all right? But I do know he says a day in the Bible begins at noon, which is ridiculous. He just doesn't know the Bible like he claims to. He teaches that the Caucasian people are Israel, but he does not teach about the people of Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 coming from Cain. He denies mm-hmm. that they come from Cain. He denies the satanic seed line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a big error on a lot of things. He's a Sunday keeper, basically. He has a Sunday morning service. He says the Sabbath of the Fourth Commandment is from Saturday noon to Sunday noon, which is ludicrous. Any Bible scholar will know that's true. It's from Friday twilight to Saturday twilight. The death of Christ Jesus proves that also. Christ Jesus had to be put into the grave before night to not be in violation of God's law in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. No dead body could be hanging on a tree after night on a Sabbath day, and that Sabbath day was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Mm-hmm.
He died right before the first day Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the Fourth Commandment Sabbath from Friday twilight to Saturday twilight. And so, therefore, he died after 3 p.m., and so, therefore, the Sabbath did not begin at noon. He was put in the grave before the Sabbath began, or right as it began, and that was at twilight time, long after noon time. So that disproves this noon to noon day and noon to noon Sabbath that Pete Peters teaches. And I think that anybody that's a Christian, Rick, should be able to defend your position and discuss and debate, mm-hmm. even if necessary,
mm-hmm.
The Bible and certain biblical teachings. And he won't do that. He didn't do that with me anyway. Now, I don't know
all right.
why. Maybe he
now,
does that with other people, but
okay.
he didn't do that with me.
All right. Now, Doug, what was your point about Pete Peters?
I've been listening to him. He's been sending me his little tapes for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I disagree with absolutely none of them. So what I have to do here, Rick, is very agree, disagree with your guest. And that's about it.
Well, that's all right. That's fine. I think you're still in general agreement. And, you know, well, that's the main thing, is you're in general agreement on the issues. And it's a matter of reading the scriptures and disagreeing on the Bible and what it teaches. But, hey, you're permitted that. You know, we don't club people.
The main thing is I kiss your butt when I call in.
Who? You kiss mine?
Right.
Oh, no, no. No, not when I'm sitting down. Not when I'm sitting down. All right. Okay, Doug, good to hear from you. Thank you for your call. We got a break coming up, Gene, and we'll do that, and we'll have Dylan and others on the line. Right now there is a line available for you on this and any subject related to what we're speaking about, including the materials that Gene sent us on the myth of separation of church and state and the scriptures. And we'll get into some of that, too, as time permits. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, only on RBNLive.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites Congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we are back, and it's always a pleasure to have Gene Smith on the program. And Gene, of course, as you know, has his own website now, and he does answer mail. He doesn't ask for offerings. He doesn't turn around the collection plate. Do you, Gene?
No, I do not. I don't you believe don't? In tithing. I don't believe that is a New Covenant law to do that. God's commandments and statutes do not mention any tithing to any preacher. I defy any preacher to show me that. If people want to donate, that's fine for the literature I send them, the audio tapes I send them. I mean, I leave it up to them. I'll send it to them anyway, whether they send me any money or not. I'm not in this for money. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Rick, I'm not in this to attack any one certain preacher. I mean, the last caller asked me a question about Pete Peters, so that's why I answered it the way I did. I'm going to tell the truth about, if somebody asked me about Billy Graham, I'd tell the truth of what I thought about him and Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson. But my main Christian witness ministry is not to target any one person. It's to tell the it's to teach people biblical truth and let the chips fall where they may. Mm-hmm. And I'm against the lies that are being spread by preachers and organized religion labeled Christian. I'm not targeting any one person.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to ask you now how it all started for you when you. I don't know your background, Gene, how you were brought up, your religious background, but I'm curious to know exactly how you had this experience and finally, came to an understanding and a study of the scriptures and what happened in your life to make you this way. Could you just briefly tell us that?
Well, yes, I grew up in a major denomination, Baptist. I don't mind saying that. I went for a little while into the Worldwide Church of God, run by Herbert Armstrong, Garnett Armstrong.
Speaking of tithing, yes.
I went to their college for 1 year and got
Ambassador
a master's degree.
College,
but I left when I saw the hypocrisy and I saw the lies they began teaching about the Bible also. But they... You know, any organization teaches a little truth, all right? But,
oh, yes.
Yeah, Christ Jesus did not come to establish a religious organization, especially not a hierarchical organization. He came to establish his church, who are the Christian people. It's the people. It's not a
make up the body of Christ. Yes.
Right. It's not an institution or an organization where you are forced to tithe money to be a Christian, like the Armstrongs did. And that's why I left when I saw how they lived compared to how the people that were following them lived, and they were just basically stealing from them through the misuse of the tithing laws. Most preachers do. And
hey, look, they amassed quite a fortune, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, let me tell you. It was pathetic. They live life better than kings, while most of their followers do, barely got by. And this is true with not just the Armstrongs. This is true now with a lot of people, Benny Hinn and Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and
John Hagee,
Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah,
these people have mansions and they have private planes and they travel everywhere and they eat in the best restaurants. And while they tell people to give them 10% of the money their income every month in order to be a Christian, that is hideous and that's theft.
And it worked for you, and here you are today, years later. All right, we'll be back with Dylan, and we have so many interesting callers. We'll take them all. Stay tuned for more of Gene Smith, thebibletruthman.com. I'm Rick Adams. We will return with hour number two.
You got headaches?